Hi, this is Derek from Atlanta. Unlike Bob, I am a former law enforcement officer, but I still enjoy listening to a practical show by a practical guy. You're listening to the Handgun World Podcast.
Hello, folks. I'm Bob Main. Welcome to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. This is episode number 363, and this is a new episode. This is not a rebroadcast like I did last week. First of all, thank you all for bearing with me. As I mentioned, I'm probably going to rebroadcast an older episode once a month for the reasons that I discussed last week. Hope you enjoyed that last week about the revisiting of the 1911 pistol that I did. It was an interview I did about 4.5 years ago. This week I want to address some customer voicemails, some listener voicemails. And you know, I love doing this once in a while. First of all, I love getting voicemails, folks. If you want to call into the show, the telephone number is 210-646-1727. Call into my podcast. Give me a comment, question, constructive criticism. Whatever you want to do, I don't care. That's fine. And you know what? You got some criticism for me, that's okay, too. I'm a big boy. I can handle that kind of stuff. 210-646-1727. This episode, I want to primarily talk about two things. Number one, understanding the cost, the true cost of concealed carrying. A lot of folks don't. Matter of fact, even people who have been carrying a long time, or even if you're not a concealed carrier, but you're just a shooter, you probably noticed this is an expensive endeavor, isn't it? It's an expensive hobby. You know, if you're looking for it to be cost effective, you might want to look somewhere else. I mean, it's kind of like golf. Golf is expensive. You know, I used to be a big golfer. A lot of you don't know that. I used to golf a lot. I'm talking about back when I was between about the ages of 27 and 40. I used to golf a whole lot there for a long time. And it was expensive and spending a lot of money and things. And by the way, do you know what the similarities are between golf and shooting? There are some similarities. Both activities probably produce the most excuses for not doing well of any other activities I've ever been a part of, right? Have you ever noticed that? People have tons of excuses as to why they can't golf well. And they got tons of excuses as to why they can't shoot well. Sometimes it's the same excuse. The wind or the sun got in my eyes, right? Or I'm cold out here. I can't stand being outside. Or it's too hot, all right? Too hot to shoot well. Too hot to golf well. Too much wind. It's too cold. Too much sun, right? Have you ever noticed that? I mean, you ever notice people have these, they used to wear these shirts, you know, about, and these shirts would have all these excuses as to why their golf game sucks. I think somebody could probably make a lot of money. Maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll produce some shirts as to why my shooting sucks. We all have areas to improve, but I just thought about that the other day. There's a lot of excuses why people can't shoot. So I'm going to talk a little bit about understanding the cost, because the cost of concealed carrying can be a lot higher than you think. And a listener called in a voicemail about this particular subject, and I thought it was really good. You're going to hear that in this episode. As a matter of fact, let's go ahead and get started with that. Jim in Dallas called in a really good voicemail. I was quite impressed with this. He made a lot of very, very good points. Sounds like he thought this out. And, you know, he might be speaking from experience here, too. But for any of you that are new to this, I kind of have a passion for new shooters. You know, a lot of people helped me out when I was first getting started in shooting and concealed carrying. A lot of people were very patient, very kind, and very helpful to me. And I'll always be grateful to them for being that way. So I kind of want to pay it forward and return the favor and be helpful and kind and gracious to new shooters, because there are a lot of new shooters these days. There are a lot of people that are waking up. There are a lot of people getting into concealed carry. There are a lot of people that realizing that this isn't the same world that it was 20 or 30 or even 40 years ago, right? A lot of people are getting it. Some are not. Some of them are still, they still have their head in the sand. They're still ostriches with their head in the sand, and they just simply won't admit what's going on around it. But there are a lot of people getting it. And I kind of have a soft spot for people like that, because, you know, first of all, we're all students. We're eternally students. We're constantly students of the gun, which is a phenomenal podcast, by the way. Student of the Gun Radio with Paul Markle. You need to listen to that. And they're right. You know, we're only a beginner once, but we're students for life. So listen to their podcast too. That's a good one. But it's a great point. It's a great point. And we're always students. But for those of you who are beginners, for those of you who are kind of just getting started in doing this, listen to what Jim has to say here in this voicemail.
Hi, Bob. This is Jim in Dallas, Texas. We're both citizens of that great gun-friendly state, but Texas wasn't always that gun-friendly. And I was thinking back, before 1995, we weren't allowed to do concealed carry. And back that year, I remember I was really eager to exercise my new privilege of concealed carry, but I didn't really know where to start. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that on this voicemail. Shooters who want to begin to do concealed carry in whatever state they live in, they have a hard time getting good information about it. I consider your podcast to be one of the most objective and informative sources for new shooters, but there's a lot of bad and confusing information out there, especially if you're naive enough to look on internet forums or to watch some of these YouTube videos. You get a lot of bad information. And I would like to propose a pathway for the beginning concealed carry shooter, and I would hope that this would stimulate some consideration and comments from your other listeners, and I'd be really anxious to hear some feedback on some of these ideas. My first advice to new concealed carry shooters or intended shooters is you're going to underestimate the real cost of getting into this, both in dollars and in time, or a lot more than you might expect. I found out through experience, but nobody really warned me. A lot of it comes to the forefront when you're ready to select your first handgun. You may think you want to select a handgun that you're going to conceal carry, but I would recommend against that. I would recommend that people's first handgun would be a full-size or service weapon, something with at least a 4-inch barrel. The primary use of this weapon would be in training, and then eventually it would probably serve as a house gun or a car gun. It's a large weapon. It's going to be heavy, which is going to help you in recoil and being able to shoot better with it. It would have high capacity, at least a double-stack magazine. The longer slide is going to give you a better sight radius. And it's just a better all-around training gun than something that's smaller. I would say don't purchase your concealed handgun until you've gotten the training and you feel competent with running the service. So don't purchase your concealed carry weapon until you've completed training and you feel that you're competent enough to do it. Don't base the purchase of that weapon on cost alone. The greater cost in your handgun will be in the ammunition, the training, and the miscellaneous gear that you'll need to support it. The selection of your first gun, this service weapon, should be a modern striker-fired weapon. And there's lots of great choices nowadays. Back in 1995, when I was looking around, not as many choices. We're just swimming in good guns now. Ideally, you would get a chance to rent and shoot these on a shooting range and find one that you enjoy. But whatever it is, it's not going to be your primary carry weapon. This is going to be a training weapon. So don't overwork it. It's your learning platform. You're going to learn safety, trigger pull, how to draw, situational awareness, how to recognize targets. You're going to learn from lots of repetitions with this gun. So it's got to be comfortable to shoot, and that's why I like a larger weapon for training. After you've taken a lot of these training classes, and you should take them from multiple trainers, something that you've stressed over and over again, after you've done that enough times, you'll understand the requirements for a concealed carry weapon, and you'll make a much better choice. You'll be able to meet teachers and students at these training classes, and you'll have the opportunity to trade stories with them, experiences, and you may even be able to trade guns at some of these classes and get to shoot a variety of weapons. Once you know you're ready for concealed carry, you're going to feel proficient, you're going to be confident, and you're going to make much better choices in which weapon to carry and how you're going to carry it. Don't rush that decision. Don't surrender to peer pressure. How much training do you need? Expect that you're going to fire at least 2,000 rounds through your training weapon before you're going to feel comfortable enough to make these decisions. So that's kind of my ideas on how to get somebody started, and I'd welcome feedback. And thanks for sharing your podcast with us.
Thank you, Jim. That was pretty good. Like I said, I was very well thought out, and he made a lot of really good points. I'm going to address a couple of Jim's points here, but, you know, I made that analogy in the previous segment about the difference between, or the similarities between golf and shooting. You know, it's kind of like golfers, they'll always blame the club as well. You ever notice that? You know, oh, these clubs are no good anymore. That's why I can't golf anymore. It's the club. You know, they haven't had a golfing lesson in 15 years, but the problem's the club, right? You know, same thing with shooters. I gotta get a new gun. I can't shoot because of this gun. They've never taken a training class in their life, but the problem has got to be the gun. You notice some of those similarities there? Okay, anyway, Jim, thanks for talking about the really true cost of concealed carry. Yes, your ammo, your training, your magazines, the parts that you're going to buy to maintain guns, your holsters. Wow, your holsters. You know what? You're going to probably end up going through a lot of holsters. And, you know, don't just settle on one holster. I don't understand why people think that they have to settle on just one concealed carry holster. That seems to be a theme, right? Buy this holster. It's the one holster to rule them all. This isn't Lord of the Rings, okay? This is life-saving equipment here. And you're not going to find one holster to rule them all. You're probably going to end up having a few holsters, and maybe even a few holsters to carry the same gun, right? It depends on what you're wearing. It depends on what your activity is going to be. You know, most of you know, this is not my full-time job, doing a podcast or teaching firearms. My full-time job is, I'm an outside sales guy, all right? I've been a salesperson for nearly 30 years now. I can't think of doing anything else full-time. I love this. I love it. I had a great month last month. I had one of the best income months last month that I've had in a year and a half. So I'm doing real well. And my experience and my training has paid off. And by the way, I've had a tremendous amount of sales training in my life. A lot of sales training. As a matter of fact, I've probably been through more hours of sales training than I have firearms training. Far more. And, you know, you got to understand, this is something that you have to work on. So I have to dress differently depending on what I'm doing. If I'm going out making sales calls, I'm in business casual clothes. So I have a different holster that I wear. Sometimes I have a couple of different holsters that I wear. Versus, let's say it's the weekend and I'm at home and I'm in my very casual clothes where I can wear cargo pants, or I can even wear a little bit more tactical type pants during the weekend, and I can wear a different type of shirt. And if it's cooler outside, I can wear, you know, sweatshirts and things like that. Where a sweatshirt in what I do in my full-time business, that doesn't really, no matter what the temperature is outside, I don't care how cold it is, a sweatshirt just looks a little tacky. I have to dress a little bit differently. So guess what? Then my gun changes and my holster changes. So Jim's point about getting a gun when you first buy a gun that might not be your concealed carry gun at first, that's not a bad idea. That's a really good idea. I've recommended that before on my podcast. Get a gun that is going to be pretty easy for you to shoot so that you'll shoot it a lot. You have to be motivated to shoot your gun. There's nothing worse than somebody who buys a gun and then they don't like shooting it. Because guess what? They won't go to the range, they won't practice, they won't take a training class, and they just won't get very good with that gun. But that might not be the gun you carry. So I'm a big fan of getting two guns, and I'm gonna go ahead and suggest this right now and kind of pick up on Jim's theme from his voicemail. Plan your financial budget on getting two guns, at least two guns. Your training gun, which is probably also going to be your range gun, and I'm talking handguns here, and probably the same. Well, no, and actually, it probably wouldn't apply to rifles or shotguns, but let's talk about handguns right now. Plan on getting two, your range and training gun, and then my big recommendation is get a much smaller version of the same type of gun that you bought for training and for the range. So, for example, most of you know my favorite pistol, the Glock 19. Okay, I also own a Glock 43 and a Glock 42. Now, that might be a good combination if the Glock happens to be what you like. If you like Springfield XDs and you buy a 4-inch or 5-inch Springfield XD, get an XDS pistol because the controls are about the same, the feel of the gun is about the same. You don't have to retrain yourself to use your concealed carry pistol. Okay? So that's an example of what I'm talking about. And, you know, Jim mentioned that too. But don't forget, you're going to have to budget for holsters, for belts, for ammunition, for, yes, a training class. For you're also going to have to budget to give your gun that 1,000-round trigger job I've always talked about, or the 2,000-round trigger job, as Jim mentioned in this voicemail. So, yes, it is an investment. But, you know, and some of you might be thinking, wow, this is a lot of money, Bob. I didn't realize that it was going to cost me that much more than the $489 that I paid for the pistol. But I got a question to ask you. How much is your life worth? How much money do you spend on other things that won't save your life? How much money do you spend on other things that are unnecessary? And maybe you could put some of that money that you spend on the unnecessary items towards a life-saving tool. And, as my good friend Ben Branham says, your mind is the weapon. Your gun is just a tool. So, because your mind is a weapon, get it some good training. And these are all things that you do have to think about. How many of you are thinking about that? And if you're brand new to this, and of course, if you're like me, you've been doing this for a while, and of course, there's plenty of people out there that are listening to this show right now that have been doing this a lot longer than me. Add up all the dollars that you spent on this. Add up all the dollars that you've spent on learning to shoot, on concealed carrying, on your firearms collection that you have. Come on, I know a lot of you listening to this podcast right now. You don't just have one gun. Come on now. Very few of you are going to make me believe that. I know that there's some of you, yeah, there, of course, there's some of you listening to this. Maybe you only own one gun, but not very many of you are there. Be honest now. So these are things that you have to plan for, and you have to understand the true cost. And I think that Jim makes very, very good points here in his voicemail. Now, I also want to reemphasize something Jim said. He made a very good point when he said, don't base your decision on buying a weapon to save your life solely on the cost of the weapon. You know, nothing could be more true. So many people are trying to pinch pennies when they're buying a gun. Buy what's right for you. If you have to save up a little bit longer to get exactly what you want, don't be in a rush. Don't be in a rush and make a bad decision and buy something that might be $40 cheaper because it fits your budget right now. Save the $40. Just wait. Just wait. Or even if what you want is $100 or $200 more. You know, I suggest that you go and you shoot a lot of guns first. Let me go all the way back to one of my very early episodes when I talked about how to select a gun for you. My strong recommendation has always been, for a long time, go to a range that rents handguns and shoot no less than five guns. Shoot no less than five guns at a range where they rent handguns before you make your purchase. Please don't fall to peer pressure. Don't fall to the pressure from your friends and your relatives. Go find a range that rents guns. Oh, but Bob, you know what? They charge $20 to rent a gun. Yeah, so? So what? Do that five times, that's $100. Is it worth $100 to find out what really is the right gun for you? I say it is. Think about that. You know, there's so many good guns out there. There's so many of them that are good quality firearms. And you really don't have to spend a whole lot of money to get a good quality firearm. But don't buy at the lower end of the price scale. There's something about the gun market right now. It seems like if you're buying at the lower end of the price scale, you get just that. You get a much lower quality gun. But the quality rises exponentially for just like an extra $150. And then from that price point, and I'm going to use the price point about $450. It seems like whatever you buy that's less than $450, now I'm talking semi-autos. You can buy a real good revolver for less than $450. So if, you know, if a revolver is your thing, if that's your choice, you know, you're probably going to spend a little bit less on the initial cost of the gun. However, you're going to have to train yourself to use that revolver because that revolver is not as simple as people tell you it is to make hits with it, especially one that you're going to carry. A lot of these small concealed carry revolvers are just so doggone hard to shoot. But let's talk semi-automatics for a minute. In my opinion, of course, is take it for what it's worth. You know, who am I, right? I'm just an everyday guy. I'm a Yankee from Wisconsin that, you know, well, I was born in New York City, raised in Wisconsin. I'm just a Yankee with a gun. That's all. I've been doing this since about 2005, and a lot of people have been doing this a lot longer than me. I'm just a regular guy, but I've had some experiences, and I've spent some money in some places and on some things that I really shouldn't have spent. I'm talking about guns here. And I made some mistakes. So, you know, learn from my experiences. I would say the $450 price point. At $450 and above, well, let's push that to about $475. Let's push that to about $475. It seems like once you get to that price point, the quality really is much more decent than if you're below that price point. Now, I just bought a Walther PPS M2 for a lot less than $475. Okay? And so there are exceptions. There are exceptions. A Smith & Wesson Shield is a fine gun, and you don't have to spend $475 on that. I guess the point that I'm trying to make is if you're going to buy a gun that you're going to carry on a regular basis to save your life, don't be looking for the $298 special, okay? I mean, seriously. Or even the $199 special that you got at a gun show. I guess that's kind of where I'm going with this because, you know, a lot of people say, well, Bob, I got my Ruger LCP and I bought it used and I got it for $285. Okay, that's fine. Or maybe they got it even for less than $285. But that Ruger LCP is pretty much about a $300 gun. And for what it is, a Ruger LCP is a big, giant hunk of plastic, just like a lot of other guns out there, like Glocks and XDs and stuff. But, you know, there's not as much material that is produced in a Ruger LCP as there is in a Glock 17 or a Smith & Wesson M&P 9. So I think you get the point. Just be careful of the gun show and internet specials. You know, somebody selling something that's too good to be true at a price that's too low and too good to be true. Because as the old saying applies, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. And again, this is life-saving equipment that we're talking about here. Life-saving equipment. Don't pinch pennies on life-saving equipment. Same with magazines. Wow. Let me tell you what. There are a lot of gun owners, they pinch pennies in two areas, which I think are the worst areas to pinch pennies. Number one is magazines, and number two is ammunition. Even though they went out and spent $600 on their gun, for some reason they have to buy the cheapest magazines that they can find, and they got to buy the cruddiest ammunition that they can find. And I'm going to differ with some people on this point, especially about the ammunition. I'm not talking about training. I'm training ammo. I'm talking about concealed carry ammo. If you want to buy the cheap ammunition for training, hey, I'm all in favor of that. Buy the cheap ammunition for training. And if it causes a lot of malfunctions in your gun, guess what? That's okay. You'll get good malfunction practice. I mean, you don't want to have too many malfunctions when you're in a training class because then you'll get behind everybody and you won't get much out of the class. But you know what? If cheap ammo and cheap magazines during a training class cause some malfunctions here and there, not a big deal. You'll learn, you'll get some practice on how to clear a malfunction. But when you put that gun in your holster to carry it, have the best magazines and the best ammunition that you can afford. And buy the good stuff. Buy the good magazines. For those of you that carry 1911s, get the best magazines money can buy for your 1911. If you carry a Glock, get Glock magazines. But Bob, the Magpul magazines are less expensive. Yes, they are, but they're not proven yet. Okay? They a lot of people are having good luck with the Magpul magazines for Glocks, but you know what? Get Glock magazines. Wait till the Magpul magazines, in my opinion, are more proven and they're more proven on the street. Okay, now I'm not talking about AR-15s, that's a little different story. Magpul makes fine magazines for an AR-15. And then there's ammunition. Wow. Get the good stuff. Get the good stuff. Spend some money. I don't care if it's $1.50 a round. Why wouldn't you spend $1.50 a round to protect your life? Now, am I saying you got to go out and spend $1.50 per round on ammunition to go to the range and take a 500 round class? No, that's ridiculous. That's not what I'm talking about. But budget enough money to be able to at least shoot a couple hundred rounds of high quality concealed carry ammunition through your gun to make sure that your gun likes it, to make sure that it works properly with that ammunition, to make sure that that ammunition is going to hit where you aim, and if you do your part, the ammunition is going to do its part. Again, there's a lot of good ammunition out there. There's a lot of great ammunition by Federal, by Winchester, by Corban, you know, there's by Speer. There's a lot of great ammunition out there. Spend the money on your concealed carry ammo. And for, You know, please do this. Please get a decent holster and a decent belt. Yes, it's going to cost you some money, but I remember when I was interviewing somebody, I forgot who it was. I've interviewed a lot of people on this show over the years. And they came up with a great point. They said, if your holster costs less than lunch, you don't want to buy that holster. Think about that now. And you'd be amazed. There are people that buy a wonderful gun and they put it into a $15 holster, about the cost of lunch. Some of you might say, Bob, where do you eat lunch? Well, you know, you get the point. If you want to know the truth, I eat lunch at Ritz-Carlton's because a lot of Ritz-Carlton's are my customers. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, I do have some Ritz-Carlton's that are my customers, but I don't eat lunch there. I am on a budget. But you get the point. You know, don't be buying cheap holsters and cheap belts. I've taught classes where people come with a dress belt that they probably bought at JCPenney for $24.95, and it's not a concealed carry belt. And there are a lot of really good concealed carry belts, folks, that look good. They don't look like a gun belt, but you're going to spend some money. You're probably going to spend $70 or $80, maybe even $90. I would highly encourage, for holsters and belts, that you check out my sponsor, Concealment Solutions. You don't get the 10% off on his belts, but he's got very good belts there. Jason has very good belts, Python gun belts. I would be also remiss if I didn't talk about some other places where you can get good belts as well. High Noon Holsters they have great belts. Crossbreed has great belts. But again, you know, Concealment Solutions, they're a sponsor. I use their belts. I use their holsters. That's about 90% of the time I am using a Concealment Solutions holster. And I'm either using the outside the waistband Cobra, which I just really, really, really like. I have a Cobra holster for 5 or 6 different pistols. And most of my carry now is outside the waistband. I rarely carry inside the waistband unless it's in the appendix carry position. And yes, by the way, I do alternate between appendix carry and strong side hip carry, depending on, again, what I'm doing, how I'm dressing, and what gun I'm carrying. Some people say, Bob, that's not a good idea. I beg to differ. If you train both ways, and again, it's I think that's a training issue. If you train both ways, you can make it work. And when the time comes, I hope that day never comes, but when you need your gun, you're going to be able to draw it and draw it effectively, because guess what? You've practiced that. Now, the final point I want to make about Jim's voicemail, he talked about situational awareness and recognizing targets. And see, there's a hidden cost, and that's part of the true cost of concealed carry that a lot of people also don't factor in when they're getting into this. You got to get some training on what to look for. You have to get some training on the proper engagement techniques for civilians. In other words, when you should shoot, when you should not shoot. If you live in a state where you have to take a class to get your concealed carry license, a good concealed carry instructor, and again, I emphasize the word good because a lot of them are not good, they will get a little bit into when you can and cannot use your gun. But it's nowhere near complete. How do I know this? I am a licensed to carry instructor in the state of Texas. I'm certified by the Texas Department of Public Safety to teach the LTC course. LTC is licensed to carry. We used to call it CHL, concealed handgun license. Now it's licensed to carry because citizens that get the license can conceal carry or open carry. Here in Texas, open carry is licensed. So that's how I know. I teach the classes, okay? But what I'm trying to say is get some training beyond that. It's one of the reasons I mentioned it before. It's one of the reasons why Ben and I decided to call the classes that we teach Beyond Concealed Carry, because We're teaching you what you need to know beyond your concealed carry class, the very next step beyond your concealed carry. And they're going to teach you things like how to identify targets, how to identify bad guys, how to neutralize different types of threats as they come to you. Situational awareness. If you take a class like Masad Ayoub's Mag 40 class, okay, you're going to learn things like when you should use your gun, when you should not use your gun. What is a justifiable use of force and what is not a justifiable use of force. All those are part of the cost of concealed carrying. Am I overwhelming you now? I hope I'm not, but I hope that I'm painting a true picture of what this cost and why it's important. But I think the cost is well worth it. Would you agree? I mean, it's well worth it because it's your life that we're talking about. When I took the Tom Givens class a few weeks ago, Tom, I think what he said was it was like 1 in 6 or 1 in 7. 1 in 6 Americans, or maybe 1 in 7 Americans, something like that. I might not have it exactly right, but the odds are a lot better than you think of getting into a violent encounter. 1 in 6 or 1 in 7. They're a lot greater than you think. So plan for that, get some training for that, and understand what you're doing. Please don't be one of these people that says, it's never going to happen to me. What do you think that most victims of violent crime, if they live, what do you think is a common response that they give to the investigators? If you thought they said, I never thought it would happen to me. You're right. And, you know, I mean, that's what I learned in the Tom Givens class. Tom speaks from a lot of experience because he's had, you know, 65 of his students over the years that actually were in gunfights to save their life. And 62 of them won that fight. But a lot of them say, I never thought it would happen to me. So, Jim in Dallas, great voicemail. Thanks very much for calling that in. I really appreciate it. It was well thought out, well done. There is one more caller. Let's get to that.
Bob, I really enjoy the show, listen to it every week. My question is, how do you get your spouse or a significant other to take the handgun training that they need as well? I have a situation where my wife is more than happy to have me defend herself or our family if there's a problem, but she won't take it upon herself to realize that if something happens to me, she's on her own. How do you deal with these kinds of problems? Thank you.
Eighty percent of all homicides are gang and drug trafficking related, according to the Bureau of Justice Statistics. That means at least 80% of all firearm homicides are caused by gangs in the drug trade. Not you, not your neighbor, despite what Dianne Feinstein might think. On average, gang members arrested for murder are often suspects in 2 other homicides. These 2 items together show that 80% of gun homicides could be stopped by incarcerating as few as 3,000 well-known repeat violent offenders. That's who Feinstein should be working against, not you. Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called Indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
All right, before I respond to this call, let me just remind you that the website for Concealment Solutions is www.concealmentsolutions.com. I forgot to give out the web address before, and the Cobra outside the waistband holster is the one I'm talking about. I really like the clips. A lot of people are critical of clips because they say that the holster can come off of the belt too easily, not with the clips that Jason designs for the Cobra outside the waistband holster by Concealment Solutions. And it conceals very well. For a long time, I looked for an outside the waistband holster that would hold the pistol close and tight into my body because that's what helps it conceal better. And this is it. There's been a lot of others out there, but this is it. This is what I really like. So check it out. Use the coupon code HandgunWorld to get 10% off of your order, except for the belts. But HandgunWorld.com will get you 10% off of your order. By the way, for my extra magazine, I have also switched to Magholders, Magholder.com. They're not a sponsor, but I really like their products. I carry my spare magazines in the horizontal position now. They conceal so much better. They're just as quick, in fact, if you do it properly, quicker to access than carrying them in the vertical position. I can't go shoot IDPA competition that way because IDPA won't allow it, but for definitely for concealed carry, that's how I'm carrying an extra magazine. Doesn't matter what gun I have, unless I'm carrying a pocket gun, then I usually carry my extra magazine in the opposite side pocket. Okay, let's get to this caller regarding getting your spouse on board. That's a tough one. I got to say, that's pretty tough. If your spouse is not on board with concealed carry, but they own a gun, my best advice is to get them to the shooting range as much as possible. If you're a guy and your wife does not want to conceal carry, take advantage of every opportunity you can to get her to the range. How about making a date out of it? How about offering to take her to dinner or her favorite movie or her favorite activity after you go to the shooting range? Okay? How about you make it, you know, something that both of you can enjoy? You go to the shooting range first and fire off a few rounds and then go take her out to her favorite place for dinner or a play or a movie or whatever. Tie it into something fun, or even if it's just a date night where the two of you get away from the kids and you get out and you go do something. Even just stopping by for the range and firing 25 to 50 rounds in an hour, even that can really help turn things around. Sometimes it just takes time. You know, it's a tough one, but sometimes it just takes time. My wife never did make the decision to carry. Now, of course, because she's disabled, she can't really carry, but she never did make the decision to carry. But she was not against me carrying. But she never made the decision to carry, so I can relate. Now, but if you want your spouse to carry, again, I would say probably just make sure that you set the example. Make sure that you carry your gun all the time. And I mean all the time. And if your spouse is okay with you providing the protection, but she won't or he won't provide the protection for himself, you can't force people into this, folks. You can't force people into this. What you can continue to do is be a positive influence. If some of you have some ideas on this subject, send me an email or call into my show, call into the voicemail, 210-646-1727. Before I wrap up this episode, let me remind you about our Shooters Club. Ben Branham and I, Ben from the Modern Self-Protection Podcast, we've put together some really, really good instructional shooting videos. You can take advantage of accessing those videos for only $8 a month. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. What do you waste $8 a month on that you could cut out so you could afford to join the Shooters Club? If you want to save a little bit of money, $75 a year. The proceeds help myself and Ben Branham at the Modern Self-Protection Podcast. It helps support our show and helps a little bit of compensation for the time that we put in to bring you good content. Folks, it's not a replacement for training. Don't think, oh, I could just get their Shooter Club for $8 a month and I never have to go to a training class ever. Nope, not true. But what it does is it reinforces a lot of what's being taught out there, and it also shows you what you need to do to practice. We do have a couple classes coming up. I would love to see you in one of our classes. For those of you who have taken training before and you want to take your skills to the next level, Ben and I are teaching Beyond Concealed Carry Enhanced, and that's coming up in about 2 weeks. No, actually, it's coming up in 1 week. You better hurry up. It's not sold out, so there's room. That's in Houston, Texas. We're also teaching up in Alaska the end of June. Many thanks to all of you who do your shopping through Amazon and you go through my store. You can also support me that way. You don't have to spend any extra money. How cool is that? Go to handgunworld.com first, then click my Amazon store page and do your shopping through my Amazon affiliate link. And guess what? You're going to be helping out the Handgun World podcast just by doing that. With all that said, folks, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Handgun World podcast. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Remember, evil does not exist in the holster. It exists in the hearts of men and women. Shoot straight, shoot safe, and I'll talk to you next time. Goodbye. Back.